Aboriginal economic issues, so that would be an interesting thing to research.
Yes, and that's a wide area. My research, one of my research partners and I mainly focus on policy-related issues because we like to research areas that we hope to bring enlightenment to give information for policymakers to make things better. So some of the areas that we've looked at are, labor force participation, income. Actually, a most recent paper that we just got published is on and health issues. And we were specifically looking at psychological well-being and the impact of economic insecurity on psychological well-being of the Canadian Aboriginal population. So there is another example of where economics is very broad, so the whole area of health economics is really huge. So we were looking at one narrow aspect of it, where we were looking at psychological well-being, which is really another way of talking about mental health, and mental health of the Canadian Aboriginal population. And we wanted to see the impact of economic insecurity.
When you first thought about doing the Aboriginal economic issues, probably one of the first questions you asked yourself was, who do I talk to start this research? Did you get any resistance in the beginning?
Not necessarily, and that would be because of the approach that we've taken for our research on in this area. Most of the data that we use is Stats Canada secondary data, so most of our studies have not involved going out and collecting primary data by interviewing and surveying people themselves. Whenever you're doing research, collecting data from people, one has to be sensitive to different cultural norms and have respect for different cultural norms in the way you ask questions and the way you gather information and the way you talk to people. But most information that we use are from survey data that's already been collected from Stats Canada.
Yeah, the reason why I asked, the reason why I asked that, I did talk to somebody about a year and a half ago who did some sort of, and I can't remember now, but some sort of an Aboriginal study and research. And the person told me, yes, they got an awful lot of resistance. Well, the Aboriginal leaders are very, very private people, very personal people, and they feel invaded if you ask them too many questions, especially about what's going on around them. And at the time I asked, and I wasn't even thinking, there was some news item that was coming across in a negative way, and of course their backs went up right away.
Yeah, and I totally understand that and totally get that.
Yeah,
and
that's, so do I.
Yeah, and that's probably one of the things that frustrates me when I think about Aboriginal issues in Canada is that so often what makes the media is negative and puts a negative spin on it.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of good research out there that shows a very objective, factual information. And very positive policy recommendations, and I wish more of that would get to the media.
Policy and behavioral economics probably the same thing, huh?
Yes, very much so. No, not at all. Behavioral economics, interesting area. I had mentioned my first degree was in psychology, and that's what draws my interest to behavioral economics. Behavioral economics takes aspects and methodologies from psychology and applies it to economics.
My guest is Dr. Laura Lamb. She is an associate professor with TRU School of Business and Economics. She's actually in here to talk about community economic development at TRU, and let's get to that, okay?
Sure.
Right after this break on Talk to the Experts on Radio NL. Welcome back to Talk to the Expert. Dr. Laura Lamb is in the studio with us this morning, associate professor with TRU, the School of Business and Economics. And Dr. Lamb, I really appreciate the last segment. We kind of got to know you a little bit. You're not old enough to do all that stuff. We said that when we come back, we'll be talking about the community economic development, which is one of your areas of research interest. We'll call it CED, if I could.
Sure.
How do you define CED?
I look at it as a bottom-up approach to economic development that generally applies to communities, you know, like the word says, community economic development, where a community could be a neighborhood, it could be a small town, it could be a specific a group of people, it could be a remote area, it could be a region. I focus more on sustainable community economic development, so the idea of creating an economy that's resilient. We live in a very dynamic world wherever we live, we're affected by all types of local and global shocks. So a healthy community, a healthy and vibrant community is one that's sustainable and resilient. You know, in other words, a community that can roll with the punches, if you will.
Communities are like human beings, personalities, in that there's always that want list and the need list. The one you want to stay away from is that want list at times, I guess, eh?
Yes, absolutely, yes. So, when we think about community economic development, there's three general areas that people look at. There's the economics of it, you know, creating quality jobs, meaning, you know, not attracting any jobs or any companies to the area, but focusing on companies that provide meaningful work and, you know, and pay a living wage and pay a reasonable wage. Also talk about diversification within an economy. And in BC, we have so many small towns that are resource-based towns, you know, and towns that were developed for the purpose of, you know, developing a mine or a forestry area. And one of the largest challenges to these areas are the fact that they're usually reliant on one dominant industry. So it makes them very susceptible.
We can use Logan Lake as a good example then.
Logan Lake's an excellent example.
With the copper mine, yeah.
Yeah, with the Highland Valley new copper mine there.
Yeah.
You know,
if that ever closed up, that'd be end of Logan Lake.
Pretty much so. You know, it would probably become a ghost town fairly quickly. So a place the size of Kamloops has an opportunity and has taken that opportunity to diversify more. I've been here 10, 11 years, but I understand that further back it was very much, you know, an industry forestry-based town. It's become a lot more diversified over the years, you know, we've got Thompson Rivers University, we've got the head office at BCLC, we've got a smattering of small IT, high-tech companies, so we've got a diversified economy. So places like Kamloops are more resilient to shocks in the economy that we experience from time to time.